Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, the Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
That in the life of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus didn't limit his ministry to the four walls of the church. We know that.
What really is the difference between these vision-driven organizations and the Roman papacy?
Being faithful to that relationship doesn't earn you the relationship. It's simply a mark of your being in that committed relationship that God has already set in place.
Any reformation that does need to be brought about, either on a small scale or on a large scale, must always be under the governing and watchful authority of Holy Scripture.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
Well, on Fridays, we try and pack in as much as we can. Since it is the end of the week, we want to stick with some things that are timely. And in that case, we're going to deal with two issues in the second hour of the program, the first one being the 77th Regular General Convention of the Episcopal Church USA, which was at one time the most influential, probably, Protestant denomination in the United States. Its influence has definitely waned. Its size has definitely waned, yet we'll be talking about its convention in the second hour of the program with Bishop Keith Ackerman. Also on a timely note, you probably heard about it. Over the holiday, not the weekend, but the holiday that so many had off, they have discovered the God particle. At least it's called the God particle, the Higgs boson. And I understand that sometimes when we get into explaining these things, it may make your eyes glaze over. The big question probably most Christians are asking is, why do they call it the God particle, and does this discovery have anything to do with God? Does it prove or disprove anything? We'll answer that question in the second hour of the program on this Friday afternoon as well. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio here in Collinsville, Illinois. We'll kick off Friday's program just the way we usually do. We'll have Issues Etc. comment line. We'll have listener email, Issues Etc. blog of the week, then the two guests I mentioned before on those two timely issues, and then Issues Etc. soundbite of the week. We got the four soundbites ready for you to listen to right now at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also vote there as well, or in advance, or just wait until soundbite of the week in the last half hour of the program, and give us a call, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback at issuesetc.org. We will be going through your email here in just a minute, or you can send us a tweet at IssuesETC, or vote in advance for Soundbite of the Week at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. I realize I always give out the Facebook URL when I don't really need to do that. That occurred to me over the weekend. Just find us on Facebook. It's that easy. Just enter issues, comma, ETC, or Issues, and usually it's the first one to pop up there. So you can, or if you want to be technical about it, facebook.com/issuesetc. Hey, I know Jeff is chomping at the bit because he was practicing all of his email reading. But what'd you guys do over the holiday,
nothing.
Fourth and fifth?
We saw Brave, the movie Brave.
Is it good?
Very, very well. You know, we took Joey, the 1-year-old, and so I spent. I don't think Joey's gonna be going to too many more movies. Let's just say that. So I missed about half of it.
So you were out with Joey the whole time.
Yeah. Well, not the whole time, but about half of it. So, but yep. What I saw seemed, you know.
The rest of the kids, did they enjoy it?
Yes. That was about it. And, yeah, I mean, it was too hot to do much outside. I cut my grass last night.
You actually have, you could cut your grass?
Yeah. Oh, it was thick. I had to bag it.
You know, they're, no.
Yes. I had to bag it.
I'm feeling very envious at this point.
Still luscious green.
You must be watering against the much touted Edwardsville voluntary restriction on the use of water that I saw on the news about every 15 minutes.
Well, I checked it out on Snopes. It's an urban legend. There is no such water ban in Edwardsville.
It's a voluntary restriction.
Yes, and so I was under the delusion. Even Lord Feichtinger, who lives in Troy, doesn't live in there. So, hey, heard you guys got a water ban. going on. So, and my wife tells me there's a water ban, so I just take the word. Meanwhile, I'm seeing my lawn getting browner and browner and browner. And I said, you know what? As Greg Kokel said, the Colombo technique, what do you mean by that is the first question. Number two is, where did you get that from? So I realized in the course of this, nobody had given me sources on this information. And Craig got it from one of his buddies at the gym in the spa where the gangsters,
the sauna,
yeah, the sauna,
yeah,
you know, the old Italian mafia from Collinsville sit and they talk about how those saps in Arizona have a water ban. Okay, so I did my own research, went to the city of Arizona.
Who would sit in a sauna during the hottest summer? Who would do this?
My wife didn't even. I told my wife Craig does this regularly. She says, I didn't think guys did that anymore. It's like, yeah, apparently they do in Collinsville
or whatever it is. Okay, so it was a myth.
So, well, yeah, I went to the website and realized it's a voluntary thing. What they said was just don't water during the heat of day. Okay, so
which you wouldn't do anyway.
Well, yeah, I do. So just don't do that, and then make sure your dishwasher's full before you wash the dishes, and make sure your washing machine's full. So I was like, I'm in compliance. I'm in total compliance. So, and I have been known to break the ban just for interest of full disclosure. I've had the policeman, you know, ring the doorbell.
And tell you to turn it off.
And tell me to turn it off. But not this time because I'm in complete compliance with the city.
You were probably the only person in the entire Midwest who could have said the sentence, I had to mow my grass and I had to bag it in the last month or so.
Yes.
Because the rest of us are just watching. I mean, I've been watering at night and... But I cannot say it's lush and green. It's neither lush nor green. It's just barely alive, which is all I'm aiming for.
From what we hear from Lord Feichtinger, his is just always brown, and I'm sure the neighbors love him. Doesn't matter if it's record heat, humidity. Lord Feichtinger prefers brown year-round.
Well, this is great, Craig, because all that weed patch that you call a yard— Now all those weeds are probably dead, right?
You have to ask Tori. She says it's nothing but dandelions.
Oh, but they can survive this stuff.
Oh, yeah.
They can easily survive this
stuff. You got to remember, your voluntary water ban in Edwardsville, these guys go, what water ban? So they don't worry about that. But, what did I do the weekend?
Yeah.
I think that was the big question here.
It wasn't a weekend.
Oh, I'm sorry. What did I do the
every day's a weekend.
I refer to it as the Craig
The end. Fourth and fifth. That's right. The fourth and fifth. For our listeners, I'm sure there are a few that know. There are others that don't know, but it's official. In March, I asked Tori for her hand, and you know I'm an old fashioned kind of guy. I talked to her father first.
That's good.
But yeah, I asked for her hand in March, and we're getting married in September. So, you know, she is slowly bringing things over, starting to. Move her stuff in here. This goes here. This is going to go there. We're going to put these paintings here. We're going to, and then, so the one I got was, I'm going to need a shelf up there in my closet, right? So that's what I did.
Never assign a fighting man an assignment like this, because you guys never do anything halfway, do you?
No.
Never do anything halfway.
No.
So you constructed a shelf that could bear the weight of a full-size,
like
full-size automobile.
You can walk up that thing.
Okay.
Yeah, but that's how I spent my day yesterday. Two ways. Putting up the shelf. Number two, I lost my keys, so I tore the house apart looking for the keys. And I'm here today, so I found them.
Good for you.
Looking forward to another Craig end.
I exercised my independence by fixing my own air conditioning and by replacing our washer and dryer. Not myself. I actually, it was time. It was 12 years old. It was done. Wasn't working. So that's how I exercised my independence.
Yet another non-union moment for Lord Feichtinger here. He corrected himself. No, we had 2 days off, the 4th of July and the 5th. He says, well, when we were on vacation. Oh, I didn't mean vacation. You know? So, Mr. Anti-Union
Man.
That
doesn't count as vacation.
Yeah, it won't let that count towards his vacation
National
days.
Holidays, you see.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Yeah, even though the 5th wasn't technically a national holiday, but non-union man thinks it is. So, anyway.
Well, those Freudian slips are really doing him, and he's not as sharp as he was before he started his long walk toward the altar. I think it's taken something out of him.
So. It's all the wedding plans. Yeah. Wedding plans. All right, let's get some email. Rich writes, today I listened to Issues, Etc., and the only things discussed on the subject of the Affordable Care Act and the Supreme Court decision were primarily about abortion. As is usually the case with Issues, Etc., every guest interviewed were from right-wing organizations. Not only was there not one word of thanksgiving for the millions of non-insured Americans who will now have access to health care, but Todd and his guests made it clear that Christians need to vote for Republicans in November in order to repeal the ACA. Needless to say, there was no attempt at balance by interviewing a Christian like Jim Wallace of Sojourners or anyone else who supports the ACA. I have been a fool. About halfway through the second interview, it finally dawned on me that the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod claims to be nonpartisan is the same as that of the National Rifle Association in name only for tax purposes only. Since IEE has regular guests who admits to being active in the Tea Party, let me just say this. If the Tea Party defines what it is to be a patriot, then I am no patriot. If the Republican Party is a true reflection of Americanism, then I am ashamed to be an American. And if the LCMS and its association with partisan conservative political groups is what it means to be a Lutheran and a Christian, then I wash my hands of both. Now here's the irony. It was Issues, Etc. that brought me back to Christianity and to the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in 1997. And now it is Issues, Etc. that becomes the final straw that drives me away. I'm done, writes Rich.
I hope he's not done with Christianity. I mean, it's one thing to be done with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Many have come to that crossroads. But please, please do not be done with Christianity for something you may or may not have heard here on Issues, Etc. Don't leave a church body for reasons having nothing to do with Scripture just because some or a majority of the people there in the church or the church body appear to hold different political views than you do on things where God's Word doesn't speak. That's not a good reason to leave a church body. You leave a church body because it, and this is really the only good reason, because it fails to teach what God's Word teaches, not because of the political opinions some people in it might hold that have nothing to do with God's Word. I got more to say on the other side of the break. Respond to that complaint. We always like the criticism from our listeners. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Got to get back to my baby. The only days are gone, I'm going home. My baby just hooked me a little. Why didn't Lutherans abandon many of the worship practices of the medieval Roman Catholic Church? The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for July is Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Faith and Act at issuesetc.org. Faith and Act, The Survival of Medieval Ceremonies in the Lutheran Reformation.
Think big screens belong in the movie theater, not at church? Think garage bands should stay in the garage, not be jamming in front of the altar? Hey, we do too. Come join us at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois for services that are reverent and relevant, vibrant and traditional. Divine service on Saturday at 6 p.m., on Sunday morning at 7:45 and 10, with Sunday school and Bible class in between at 9. Join us. Not a big screen or garage band in sight. Promise.
Where doctrine is life. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Join Issues, Etc. regular guest Gene Edward Veith, Stephen Hine, and me for the Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th at Memorial Lutheran Church in Houston, Texas. Topics include teaching Latin, music, history, literature, the catechism, and more. Visit ccle.org for more information. The Conference on Classical and Lutheran Education, July 17th through the 19th in Houston, Texas, ccle.org.
Save you from the tempter's might with his presence.
the Concordia Seminary Lutheran Hour Chorus with the hymn, "With the Lord Begin Your Task," playing right now at LutheranPublicRadio.org. It's sacred music for the world, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Since we are going into the weekend is a great time, if you haven't already, to go to LutheranPublicRadio.org. Just hit the play button, and you'll get sacred music 24/7, and it follows the church year. Now, we had the email before the break where the emailer was saying that they're done. I couldn't tell, done with Christianity, done with Lutheranism. I hope it's really not the former, because of they thought we had right-wing guests. Well, generally speaking, here's the I know that that's a common perception. We're not going to speak on an issue like the Affordable Care Act unless we have some clear word of God, because other than that, you'd just be hearing my political opinions. And actually, my political opinions, believe it or not, actually, I'll probably make more listeners angry this way, lean far more toward the Affordable Care Act than against it. That's my personal opinion, which I try and keep off the air as much as I can, because what we're trying to do is deal with these things from a Christian perspective. And the only thing that makes a Christian perspective is a clear word of God. So why do we talk to organizations that you call them right wing that are concerned about life and abortion and marriage and things like that? Because we have clear words of God on those matters. And religious freedom, I think we could add that in there, insofar as good government is defined in Scripture. So that's why we end up talking to those organizations. And I think he's right. We are remiss in not pointing out that one of the upsides of the Affordable Care Act, at least as it's being presented, may be universal health care, which I don't think is a bad thing. Now, we Christians can disagree, because we have no clear word of God, on how the people get their health care needs met. Does the government pay for it? Do we pay for it as individuals? Is it every man for himself? Because God's word doesn't speak there. Our individual responsibility to care for one another is not in question here, but that's not what we're talking about here when we talk about the Affordable Care Act. So the reason we talk with those groups, and again, you call them right wing, is simply because we have a clear word of God on the Affordable Care Act as it pertains to abortion and life issues, and a clear word of God where it pertains to religious liberty. But other than that, everyone is free to make up their own mind. It's a question of prudence there. Now, I'll say it again, like I said before the break, do not let the political opinions or ideas of your fellow Christians be a reason for staying or leaving a church body. The reason you should stay or leave a church body is solely over whether or not they rightly teach God's word. And if they rightly teach God's word, but they have stupid political opinions, well, you might have to overlook stupid political opinions of your fellow Christians.
Some more political email. Liz writes, "Just heard your Issues Etc. episode on whether President Obama is a Christian. Not sure why you feel the need to continue harping on this issue. President Obama said he's a Christian, and now it's between him and God whether or not he's a true Christian. Else we need to apply the same question to all members of every Protestant Christian church. Also, I am certain that Mormons aren't Christians, since Mormonism is a cult that received its teachings from demons. Thus, I would never vote for someone who belongs to a cult that is guided by demons." Liz continues, "I think I've resolved the issue why some people tried to continue questioning President Obama's Christian faith. Perhaps they think they can dissuade Christians from voting for him. As a foreign female Christian, I understand President Obama's political leanings. I would even call myself a Christian social democrat. And I expect such a political position may not be understood by people who have never experienced the injustices of this world. Additionally, I believe that if Jesus were alive today, he would be a Christian socialist because of the examples he gave us of all the works he did to feed the poor and the needy, and because of all the counsel found in his sermons. As pertains to the presidential election, it is probable that Jesus Christ would be advising Christians to vote against a member of a demonic cult," writes Liz.
I got to deal with if Jesus were alive today first. I don't want to get too distracted by it, because I'm pretty sure that Liz did not intend to say that. I'm pretty sure that she believes that Jesus is alive today. And it's something that slips out, like if Abraham Lincoln were alive today, or if George Washington were alive today. But Jesus is alive today. I mean, that really is the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian. So I'm positive, lest any of our listeners want to jump on that, let's give the listener the benefit of the doubt that she did not intend to imply that Jesus is not alive. Okay? Now, we didn't question, if she's referring to a conversation we've had with Terry Mattingly, and we I think, have assiduously avoided the issue, the big question mark of President Obama's faith, in particular the accusation that he isn't a Christian or that he's a Muslim, because it doesn't seem to have any basis in fact. We didn't question his Christianity. If you go back, and please do, go back and listen to that interview with Terry Mattingly, you will see we're talking about a Pew Forum poll where the American people are being asked what they think about President Obama's religious beliefs. And many appear not to know. Some believe he's a Muslim. It's a big question mark for people. And Terry was quite clear that, in fact, it almost made soundbite of the week this week. Terry was quite clear that if you're simply looking at what the president has said consistently, he has, to my knowledge and to Terry's knowledge, never claimed to be anything other than, during his public life, a Christian. Now, what kind of a Christian is he? Well, he's a member of the United Church of Christ. He is admittedly a very liberal Christian, but you got to take him at his word. He has repeatedly professed faith in Jesus Christ. So we were not questioning his Christianity. We were simply covering, on the basis of Terry Mattingly's Scripps Howard News Service on religion column, a poll of American people questioning saying, what does the president believe? And most people seem to be somewhat confused. We were actually trying to clear up the confusion. He is a professed Christian. Can I look into his heart and see whether that is a sincere faith? No. You can't look into mine and see whether mine is sincere either. You got to go upon what people say. And he says he's a Christian. He has repeatedly said he's a Christian and never presented himself as anything other than a Christian. The only question is, Terry's right to point it out, what kind of Christian is he?
Now, Wilkin, I was thinking this is going to be our fourth presidential election working together.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And I can't stand it. Just please, everybody. Emotion comes out leading up to a presidential election like nothing I've ever seen or done in working with this program. So
like a council of the church declaring things this and that. Contrary to God's word, and it wouldn't stir up as much acrimony and emotion as a presidential election does, which right. is kind of ridiculous.
I mean, just nothing against the last email, but nobody in that interview said President Obama wasn't a Christian. We were talking about polling results.
And we said the opposite, actually.
Yeah, we're polling results on how Americans view President Obama's faith. So everybody, before we write off some polemical email or just, you know, throw some ditty out there because Rush Limbaugh said it, please, let's just think before we speak and sleep on an email before we send it, lest we look like irrational, charismatic zealots.
He said it, not me, guys. Hey, Craig, if you're not busy playing solitaire or something, would you turn the fan on? I am burning up in here. Thank you. I'm sitting in this little room, and for some reason, the circulation isn't getting to me.
I don't think I think our air is out.
I'm starting to
swoon. I think you need to get the tool set out.
Get out the
air. Is it cold? Is there cold air coming out?
Yeah, our tool set consists of a screwdriver.
It's 81 in here. What's it in there? What's your
76, it says, but that's a lie.
Oh, come on, Wilkin.
That's a lie.
It's 5 degrees cooler in there.
But I have nothing blowing on me.
Well, we don't have
you
anything.
Guys are sitting there under
the... What do we got something right by the door. Go right straight behind, out the door.
There's one right behind you, Jeffy.
What's that?
There you go. There's another one. You got two vents. I got one vent. I've got no return.
I thought that vent was closed.
Slaving over a hot microphone.
Cold air coming, Lord Feichtinger? You got your 5 degrees cooler than us. Come on, Letterman. All right. Some more criticism. Eric, Maryland, I'm writing a response to your interview on July 2nd with Casey Luskin on a campaign to convince Christians to accept neo-Darwinism. During the interview, Mr. Luskin noted that he was an old earth creationist and stated that he didn't see the contradiction between this view and Jesus as our Savior. Pastor Wilkin let this comment go without comment. I think the view is in error simply because if there was no death before the fall, which is implied by old earth creationism, unless I misunderstand the belief, the entire reason for Christ's death on the cross is called into question. Can you please comment on this and correct my misunderstanding? Thanks again for taking my email, and thanks for listening in Maryland. Eric.
Often say smartest listeners in radio, you have no misunderstanding. You're quite right. And I think we've been quite clear in the many, many, many shows we've done on creationism, Darwinism, old earth creationism, theistic evolution. I hold a 6-day, I should say 7-day. I hold a 7-day creation view, 7 days, like today days. And we have consistently held that view. Now, the reason I didn't correct it was, number one, it was a comment made by the guest in passing. It was not central to anything the guest was saying in their argument. Number two, I didn't want to sidetrack the conversation. You know, someone tunes in, our many on-demand listeners see the audio that says a campaign to convince Christians of neo-Darwinism, and I sidetrack it disagreeing with the guest over old earth creationism, and they don't get what they quote unquote paid for. So, but I think we made it quite clear. And if I'm not mistaken, either right before or right after that comment was made by our guest, I made it quite clear that my position is a 6-day creation. So no reason to sidetrack the conversation because of a unguarded statement or a offhand statement made by a guest. I think the listeners know quite well where Issues Etc. stands on the issue of creation. We'll be right back. That's not the way it feels.
Operator, oh, could you help me, please? This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Over summer, 2.5 months of what a child learned in school can leak away. Call Sylvan to turn summer learning loss into a gain. Sylvan pinpoints exactly what skills your child needs in just 3 hours a week over 12 weeks. You'll see results in your child's math or reading performance improving one grade level guaranteed. Demonstrated through the pre and post assessment. So call now. At participating locations only. Some restrictions may apply. Call for complete guarantee details.
Sylvan Learning Center of Shiloh, 618-628-0018. 628-0018.
In the 1500s, the Reformers grieved over the view people had of their callings in life, believing work done for the church superior to work done anywhere else. So the Reformers worked to restore a proper balance. But as it's written in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. 600 years later, with the thought of everyone a minister, haven't we gone back? The CLCC has released a new seminar on the doctrine of vocation, an important Lutheran teaching that has fallen into disuse over the years. The solution is to start teaching it once again. The seminar contains 4 lessons, with a standalone overview lesson available for circuit convocations. Serving our neighbors through our vocations is essential for the task of evangelism practiced according to Scripture. Contact us to schedule your seminar today at theclcc.org. That's theclcc.org. And please, consider joining the CLCC or making a donation to help us bring these powerful but low-cost seminars to the laity. theclcc.org.
It's a radio outreach, not a ministry. You're listening to Issues Etc.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, Executive Director of Life Issues Institute.
Have you seriously considered adoption when you were over 50 years old? At a time most of us are checking our 401ks and adjusting to empty nests, others are mapping out different plans. Marla and Dwayne Hastings had 5 grown kids when they started adopting. James and Gracie are both 8, and Hudson is 5. Marla says people think they're crazy, and I guess they may have a point. But the truth is, they're crazy in love with this growing family and a desire to serve the Lord. There's even a network of peers and support for these older adopters. When Marla was weighing adoption, a colleague and adoptive dad told her, better old parents than no parents. From then on, she was hooked. Whatever the downside, these parents are reaping much more good.
Check out Life Issues on Facebook and stay more informed than you've ever been.
A reputable newspaper would not have a defense correspondent who couldn't tell the difference between a battleship and a tank. Yet we have people writing about religion who have no idea the difference between different Christian groups, different Christian beliefs.
The conscience of the Christian and the heart of the Christian by faith finds in the gospel, and only in the gospel, a good and a clean conscience.
There isn't any high ground atheism. Atheism is simply irrational.
The Lord's Supper is not incidental or an add-on to the life of the church. Where Jesus is, there is the church. And here, that presence is defined by the bread of the Eucharist.
In about an hour, we'll play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. There's a taste of the four soundbites that you have an opportunity to listen to and vote for. You get to pick Soundbite of the Week. It's entirely determined by our listeners' votes. You can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Of course, you can always listen in advance to the soundbites that are at our website, issuesetc.org. You can also send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org. You can send us a tweet at issuesetc. Please include your city and your state, or you can wait and vote live. Phone call voters get to vote first when we play Soundbite of the Week. 1-877-623-6943-877-623-MYIE.
The journalist, the conscience of a journalist in me is pricking.
Why is that?
Because I used the example of Rush Limbaugh Diddy, but I did not take it up to the other side. So I would say, lest you throw out some sound bites from Rachel Maddow or what's his name? The guy in MSNBC, Ed Schultz.
Okay.
So I got that off my chest.
Okay, good.
I feel much better. I don't know if our listeners do, but I do. David, Mission Viejo, California. I'm a regular on-demand listener, and I love your program. It regularly fills my daily 90-minute commute to the office. May I make a suggestion? It would be nice if you could compress the audio dynamic range for in-studio guests. Specifically, Pastor Whedon's range is too great for my car stereo. I turn up the volume to hear his quiet parts, only to get blasted by his exuberant declarations. Because I don't want to miss any words, I have to manually ride the volume knob. I know a little about pro audio gear, and I'm pretty certain this problem can be fixed with a compressor or limiter. I would be even willing to donate funds to purchase such equipment. May God continue to bless your radio outreach, writes David. Thanks for the email in Mission Viejo, California.
Well, you bring up an ongoing problem here at Lutheran Public Radio. I don't know if we have the inline equipment to do it. We could certainly post-produce some compression into Pastor Whedon's audio. Craig has been known in the past to try and ride the pod, as we would say, during Pastor Whedon's interviews.
It's impossible.
And it's impossible to do. It just really is. You never know when he's going to explode or when he's going to suddenly simmer down to a very quiet whisper. It's just what you get when you've got a guest that is that good. Now, I noticed we had him on the phone recently. When was that?
We had him talk about St. Irenaeus just like a week or two ago.
And I don't think the problem was nearly as bad because the phone does the job for you a little bit, and it made it a little easier. But
here's the problem. The problem is if we post-production, we try to equalize everything out. All those little silent things where you're getting the Whedon whispering.
It's a trade-off.
It brings up all the hiss and all the noise you're probably not hearing. It's going to be amplified. So
right.
You pick your poison. Do you level the whole thing out, which we could do after the show, and flatten out those high ranges or low range, whatever they are.
Bring up the low.
I mean, if you do that, will you get the true Will Whedon experience? That's all I'm saying.
I mean, all I know is I sit here on the other side of this very narrow table from him on a regular basis, and so I get I understand what our listeners are going through. I sympathize. I get the full range of his dynamics. But if you listen, I mean, obviously, if you listen, it's great. We've told him, use your indoor voice, stay on, you know, there's just no teaching him those things. But that's not a reason not to have him on. Yeah. Great guest.
I mean, we could try it, but I don't think people are going to like it. I don't think when those silent moments come.
Jeff won't like it because we can be assured that the producer of the show will not like it, because if it brings up the ambient noise of the room, Jeff will not like it.
Well, remember that one commercial we did for Lutheran Public Radio? It was King's College Choir. It was a Christmas hymn
yeah.
or something.
Yeah.
And we brought that thing up.
Mm-hmm.
And if you brought it past a certain point, the background noise was almost as loud as the music. And that and we just like you can't bring it up that high. And that's what we'd have to do with the Whedon factor.
It's been this way. How many years have we had Will on the show?
Many
years.
Before you were even hosting the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I was even hosting the show. So 10 plus years. And every board op we've ever had has watched those things peg with him. And there's just not a lot you can do.
Nope.
I call it the Whedon effect.
Well, but thank you for the email. And
yeah,
it's something we haven't noticed. And thanks for being willing. We have the equipment that could do something. But the question is that better than what you're getting now?
You know what we need?
What?
We need an Optimod.
Yeah,
that's what we need.
I'm not going there. You almost took me to a very dark place, and I'm just not going there. You know, I almost took the bait, my friend. Gretchen, Tennessee. I had to respond to your beer snob segment on last Friday's inane banter section. I am a beer snob, and a wine snob too, for that matter. Here's an analogy that you guys might relate to. Generic American lager is like generic American Protestantism, bland and boring. Craft beer, on the other hand, is like Lutheranism, complex, nuanced, and paradoxically intellectual, yet made from stunningly simple ingredients. Jeff complained about the price of his Trappist beer, but think about this. A world-class wine can run thousands of dollars a bottle. A world-class six-pack of beer is rarely more than $10 to $12. I'll take a small batch IPA with my Book of Concord over a Miller Lite with the latest best-selling How to Grow a Church book any day. Thanks for the email, Gretchen in Tennessee.
That was very nice. That was very good.
That is one of the most, that was the best.
It was
email.
Brief, to the point.
Yes.
Well-written.
Clever. Yeah. It was, remember the one we had this is several years ago, when we had the battle over Sammy Hagar versus David Lee Roth.
Oh, yeah.
The Van Hagar debate here at Lutheran Public Radio. And the guy wrote that email. This is up there with that one. This is really, very good stuff.
Excellent. Very good. And I agree. I like the analogy. I still just don't have much, you know. I guess she's making the case for liking your theology at the highest possible quality, which I agree with completely. I just think the analogy breaks down there. But it's a great one nonetheless.
I only do what Marvin Wilkin tells me to do. I'm a simple man like Marvin Wilkin from Texas, formerly Kansas boy. And so what Marvin says...
The world could use more simple men, don't you?
That's right, exactly. So I do what Marvin does. What would Marvin do? WWMD. Telling you, there's money there. There's money to be had. What would Marvin do? All right, Tom writes, since when has the Bible become the Word of God? According to the Bible itself, Jesus the Christ alone is God's Word. Try reading John 1:1 this way. In the beginning was the Bible. The Bible was with God, and the Bible was God. There is not one verse in all the Scripture that states that the Bible is God's Word. All Scripture is inspired, but this in no way makes the Bible the Word of God. Everything we teach must be based on sound doctrine, writes Tom.
Well, there are several reasons to regard the Bible as God's Word. One is, and you've made a category error with all due respect, when you take one sense of the word "word" and read it into that John, the prologue of John. Jesus is the Word of God in a different sense than Scripture is the Word of God. We don't say that Scripture is Jesus or Jesus is Scripture. We don't say that. But Jesus is the Word of God, and Scripture is the Word of God in a different sense than Jesus is the eternal Word of God. Why do we regard Scripture as the Word of God? Because that's how it presents itself. Does it say, this verse is the Word of God? Now, you know, in order to keep your logic, it would have to basically say, that verse that was just written here was the Word of God. The next verse is the Word of God. But it presents itself as the Word of God. And I think even more compellingly, is Jesus regarded Scripture as the Word of God. For at the very least, the Old Testament, Jesus regarded it as the very word of God. Jesus says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. I don't know. If the words are coming out of God's mouth, then they're God's words. And he's quoting Scripture. So Jesus regards Scripture as the word of God. And the apostles regarded what they were writing as the word of God. Paul will say in several places, this is not I, but a command of the Lord. And the prophets of the Old Testament certainly regarded what they were writing and saying as the word of God. Now, I am not in a position to question Jesus or the apostles or the prophets. If they regarded these things as the word of God, I will defer to their judgment on these things. But please don't make the mistake of saying, well, if we call the Bible the word of God, then somehow we're calling the Bible Jesus or equating the Bible with Jesus, that Jesus is the word of God in the same sense that Scripture is the word of God. What is the test for whether it is God's word? I mean, it always has been. You say everything must be based on sound doctrine. Well, what's your test? Where do you get your sound doctrine if not from God? Well, are you getting it from the Bible? I mean, the emailer said everything must be based upon sound doctrine, sound teaching. How do you know what's sound teaching? What's your measure of sound teaching? Your own opinion? It sounds sound to you? No, the church has always said the sole measure of sound teaching is, does it fit with what Scripture says? Because the church has always regarded Scripture as the word of God, simply following in the footsteps of Jesus and the apostles. We'll be right back. I'm coming home. Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Tulsa, Oklahoma. Heritage Lutheran, Valparaiso, Indiana. Mount Olive Lutheran, Duluth, Minnesota. Our Savior's Lutheran, Windham, Minnesota. St. John's Lutheran, Algoma, Wisconsin. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. St. John Lutheran, Yuma, Colorado. Christ Lutheran, Kansas City, Missouri, and Redeemer Lutheran, Lincoln, Nebraska. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.
Treadmill for the mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I'm not a Christian, but I listen to your show because actually you do have some interesting topics.
Here's a recent comment from the Issues Etc. comment line.
Do you believe that there's not one error in the Bible? That's intellectually infantile. You also believe that Jesus is coming again. You promote extremely sexually repressive views.
The Issues Etc. comment line, available 24/7, 618-223-8382.
Have fun waiting for Jesus to return. Got news for you. He ain't coming back.
Are you looking for a Christ-centered, cross-focused church? Check out the Find a Church page at our website, issuesetc.org. Are you tired of worship that's more about self-help than the Savior, the Christian rather than the Christ, and Christ in you instead of Christ for you? It's not about you, it's about Jesus for you. Find a church near you, issuesetc.org, and click Find a Church. Welcome back to Issues Etc. It's Friday afternoon, the 6th of July. We're coming to you live, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line as time permits. In a few minutes, it'll be Issues Etc. Blog of the Week, and then we'll be talking the God Particle with Dr. Jeff Zwerink, and also the 77th General Convention of the Episcopal Church with Bishop Keith Ackerman, right before we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week.
Once again, Lord Feichninger has my back. He brought up a very good point. You know, I was quoting Marvin Wilkin without the quote about beer. What's your dad's quote about beer again?
Well, I sometimes get it mixed around. It's either the best beer you ever had was not that much better than the worst beer you ever had, or you could turn it around and say the worst beer you ever had was not that much worse than the best beer you ever had. But I think it works better the first way. Kind of.
See, I think the Kansas Wilken would have chosen the latter, the worse. But the Texas Lutheran would have chosen the more positive, the best, since
they
have
he's close
to Joel Osteen.
No, well, no, they have better beer in Texas than they do in Kansas, which is proven by long years of my dad trucking beer to his brothers in Kansas.
Isn't Kansas like one of those dry states?
We were beer runners. But that's what we did. But he said it was vacation. I mean, that's what he convinced the kids that we were going out. We were just running beer to Kansas. It was what we were doing every summer. So it was.
Hey, put you through college. Daphne writes, I was listening on demand to your June 25th program, The Prophet Jeremiah with Dr. Nathan Jastrom. My question is simple, and I know as a Lutheran I should know the answer, but I don't. This is a heated discussion I have with my parents all the time. They are non-denominational charismatics. What is the reason that Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Christians do not believe that prophets still exist and speak today? What do you do with the passage in 1 Corinthians 13 and 14 where Paul speaks of having the gift of prophecy? Does it just not exist anymore? Thanks for listening, and thanks for the email, Daphne.
It's a great question. Now, first of all, let's be clear. The Lutheran Church nowhere explicitly teaches that prophets do not exist. It's a conclusion drawn from the kind of the whole reading of our theology. It has to do with the sufficiency of Scripture. Now, there are many Christians in the world, I would say probably the fair majority of Christians in the world, do not believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. That is, that Scripture is God's definitive, it's His last word, so to speak, His last authoritative word to the church. Lutherans affirm this and have from the 16th century Reformation, the full sufficiency of Scripture. Roman Catholics, for instance, in their official teaching, do not affirm this. In fact, they affirm quite the opposite. They say Scripture is deficient. But, good news, they say, the magisterium of the church can make up for the deficiency in the kind of ongoing unfolding, they would say unfolding, revelation. They say everything is implicit there in Scripture, but the magisterium of the church unfolds it and makes it more clear and when I say magisterium of the church, I mean the office of the papacy and the priesthood in the church. Charismatic churches, you're quite right. They do not believe in the full sufficiency of Scripture, even though they say they do. They say the Bible is God's word. They say it's enough. They say it's all you need. But then they have their own private revelations and their own prophets today who are adding to Scripture. And not to be really no surprise here, we'll be talking about the Episcopal Church USA. They do not believe in the sufficiency of Scripture. They would say, and this is liberal Christianity. Isn't that odd? Strange bedfellows. Liberal Christianity says, oh, the Bible's great, but we continue to get this new word, this new move of the Spirit, this God is doing a new thing among us, which is why they affirm homosexuality and are all on for same-sex marriage and homosexual clergy, because they've got a new word from God, because the Bible isn't sufficient. It has to do with the sufficiency of Scripture. If the Bible is, in fact, sufficient as it presents itself, which is what Paul is telling Timothy there, it's sufficient for everything the Christian needs. I think it's in 1 Timothy he says this. Then if it is God-breathed, inspired, if it is enough, then there is no need for further prophecy. Does that mean that God couldn't send prophets? Well, of course he could. But would they say anything contrary or in addition to Scripture? No, they wouldn't. I mean, that very Scripture ends with, don't add, don't take away. So because there is, if God forbids us to add or take away, then there's obviously no need to add anything new. It says what needs to be said. So if you believe that the Bible is sufficient, then you will say, what is the need for modern day prophecy? What more would God have to say to us? And if he were to send a prophet who would add to Scripture, then we really do. And these charismatic, the Catholic Church in its official teaching, the liberal wing of Christianity, they're not really being completely honest. If they really believe that they're getting new words from God, they should be writing them down and publishing them in, as an appendix at the very least, to their editions of the Bible.
This email made my work week. It comes from Robert. He said, Dear Lutheran friends, I'm a pastor in Denmark, enjoying your broadcast when I do my work at the office. Many of the hymns I hear on Lutheran public radio are hymns that we sing Sunday mornings here in a small village church close to the German border. Our national church is bleeding as the bishops have agreed to same-sex marriages, but I intend to stay and fight for the gospel. In that struggle, Lutheran Public Radio gives me strength, writes Robert in Denmark.
That's remarkable. That's just fantastic. We were just talking about Danish churches, about in particular the Danish state church with George Conger, and here we have a listener from Denmark saying that he's talking there about Lutheran Public Radio, our 24-hour, 365-day sacred music channel, LutheranPublicRadio.org. And we've heard a lot of great things from many listeners to LutheranPublicRadio.org. You can listen there this weekend. Just give it a shot. You'll see exactly what the listener out there in Denmark is talking about. Sacred music for the world following the church's year, 24/7, LutheranPublicRadio.org.